The Song of Solomon, chapter 8, and the first part of verse 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? What sacred union there is declared throughout this precious book of the Song of Solomon between Christ and his bride, the Church. But in this text we have some very precious things that I want us help just briefly to make a few remarks on. First, the question, who is this? And secondly, where she was coming from, the wilderness. And thirdly, what was her sweet occupation as she came forth, leaning upon her beloved. But who was her beloved? And who is ours? So we have this question which the Holy Spirit has sweetly left on record. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Well, this is none other than the bride of Christ, his Church. What a mercy if you and I are among them. Is it your prayer and mine, with them numbered may I be, now and through eternity? His beloved bride that he had purchased with his own precious blood, that he had redeemed from all her sorrows and grief and sin by his own precious blood. Who is this? And to be found amongst such characters. We have, if you read closely throughout the Blessed Song of Solomon, and many things spoken concerning her beloved, the Lord Jesus, but many sweet experiences of the bride of Christ. She knew so much of his comeliness. He was to her the altogether lovely one, the chiefest among 10,000. But there's just one or two things I would name. First of all, she knew what it was to come into some dark places. And if you and I are among the bride of Christ, we shall know very dark places. She had been in the second chapter in the winter. She couldn't bring herself up out of it, could she? But her beloved Saviour was to bring her up out of it and to speak those precious words, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past." Who is this? But then there were times where she was sleepy and unexercised and unconcerned. And what did she need her beloved Saviour to stir up? You know, it's so easy for us, isn't it, to get into a lukewarm condition like the spouse in the and the bride of Christ did here, and the church did in the Revelations, where they were neither hot nor cold. And she knew what it was to come into such places. But she knew ever so much of the nearness of her dear Redeemer. And one, as we think of entering into this new year, and as we tried to look at this morning, the beginning of all things, and we felt, how shall we enter into it and venture into this new year? And this word seemed to drop in very sweetly, leaning upon her beloved. Now may that be so with each of us, that we, whatever may come, we be found leaning upon him. But then, as I introduced the subject, we said too that she was coming up, where from? The wilderness. She'd known what it was for her dear Redeemer to bring her up out of the wilderness of the sin, the wilderness of the world, the wilderness of carnal religion, the wilderness of unbelief. And you will notice she cometh up. You see, she'd been in these places which she couldn't bring herself up out of. And it may be there are those this afternoon that are in places in affliction and trial and temptation and darkness that you cannot bring yourself up out of. You think of the children of Israel as they went through the wilderness. That wilderness was not their home, was it? They were journeying to a celestial city, a heavenly Canaan, the child of God is these bride of Christ. And like the children of Israel, as they journeyed through the wilderness, it was to Canaan's happy land they had in view. But they had to come up, you see. And what a mercy when the Lord brings us up. We, it's a good prayer, isn't it? Where the psalmist prayed so many times throughout the book of Psalms, that the Lord would bring him up. Bring my soul out of prison and I shall praise thee. Raise my soul above the ground. Oh, to be coming up from these, you see, she couldn't rest in them, could she? She got to come up out of them. It's like the children of Israel had to come out of Egypt and wander through the wilderness of those 40 years. And she had to come up. But the Lord was to bring her up. It's like the hymn writer said, raise my soul above the ground. And there may be those of you this afternoon, you're longing for the Lord to bring you up. Satan does all he can, doesn't he, to pull the child of God down. But it's the Lord that will bring them up. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? You see, that wilderness was not her resting place or her home, was it? She had to come up from it. And the Lord was to do this. And then those that are weighed down by sin in the wilderness, many sins beset the child of God, plague them, trouble them. Sins immense, one said, as is the sea, hide me, O Gethsemane. And oh, to be brought up out of those sins that weigh us down, and out of the afflictions that plague us. You see, if you look through the 107th Psalm, how many times she had to go down, but how many times the Lord brought her up. But we have, and this is what I want to come to, that wonderful word leaning upon her beloved. Leaning upon her beloved. Well, first of all, who was her beloved? It was none other than the dear Lord Jesus. She could well say, my beloved is mine, and I am his. What is my beloved compared with another beloved? Yea, is the chiefest among 10,000 and the altogether lovely. Oh, to know this beloved Saviour. But you know, he refers too to his dear bride as his beloved, doesn't he? She said, my beloved spake. You know what it is to long for him to speak, and when he does speak, you don't forget the voice, do you, of your beloved? But oh, as he looks upon his dear bride, his church, he looks at them as his beloved. He has loved them with an everlasting love. So the question was put here, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Now let us look at this leaning, as the Lord may help me. Where are you leaning, and where am I this afternoon? Oh, to be leaning as we venture into this new year upon a precious Jesus. You see, it was no use her leaning anywhere else, was it? All other leaning posts would fail. And the Lord brings his dear people to feel that, don't they? So often, left to ourselves, we can lean on this prop or that prop. And I remember the old preachers saying in my early days, don't be surprised if the Lord takes away all the props. So the only place you can lean is upon a precious Jesus. And so often we don't realise that we're leaning on some other prop until the Lord takes it away. And then we realise where we're leaning. You see, it's so easy for man by nature to lean on himself or herself, or lean on some arm of flesh, or lean on something of this world, or lean on natural religion. You know, many are leaning on natural religion. They think, well, we've got a name of religion, we can lean on it. It's a solemn thing, that is. But what a mercy when the Lord brings us to the only place we can lean. And this is my soul's desire as we venture into this new year, that we might be found leaning upon a precious Jesus. Leaning upon his finished work. Safe place to lean, isn't it? Because it's all complete. He has completed it all in coming into this earth and suffering, bleeding, dying, rising again, and then ascending into glory. A work that is done by the Saviour. And oh, the sinner's only hope and only place they can lean is upon him who has done all things for them. What are we singing the hymn on? Her beloved Lord, she leans. But then leaning upon his glorious righteousness. Oh, to be found leaning there. that wondrous robe that he has wrought out for sinners, the righteousness of Christ. And then, as the hymn writer said, leaning on all-sufficient grace. Oh, what a mercy when we are leaning upon all-sufficient grace, because the apostle did when the Lord spoke to him those beautiful words, "My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness." The dear man could lean on that, couldn't he? That sufficiency of grace. It was something he could lean on that wouldn't fail. You see, earthly props, as I have said, will soon fail. But the soul that leans wholly on the dear Redeemer, he will never fail them. And then, to be found leaning like dear John on the breast of the dear Saviour. Sweetly to lean upon, the hymn writer said, doesn't he? It's a good place for us to be leaning, you know. I often think of dear John when he was leaning upon the Lord's breast, you know. That dear man, he knew such nearness to Christ, didn't he? But may this year, as you come into it, be a time where you can live leaning upon him, near the Redeemer, near the Saviour's breast. And you know, it's one of the safest places the poor sinner can be found in, isn't it? Leaning upon Jesus. Leaning upon him for everything that you need, whether it be for time or for eternity. to be found leaning there. I keep thinking of that sacred hymn which dear Mr. Kent wrote on this sacred subject. He says, "From sin's dark thorny maze to Canaan's fertile plains, a travelling fair one in distress on her beloved leans." That those this afternoon have many things that distress you, but where are you leaning? And where am I? Are we like dear Mr. Kent says here, a travelling fair one in distress on her beloved leans. Through fire and flood she goes, a weakling more than strong, vent in his bosom all her woes, and leaning moves along. You see, as you travel through this year, poor soul, to be leaning as you move along on a precious Christ. When dangers round her press and darkness veils the skies, she leans upon his righteousness. From thence her hopes arise. When guilt, a mighty flood, her trembling conscience pains, then on his peace-securing blood this travelling fair one leans. She views the covenant shore, her hopes all centred there, and on his bosom leans secure, whose temples bled for her. Oh, may we have the religion that dear Mr. Kent sent forth there. Leaning upon the dear Redeemer. And you think the Lord will, and I want to look at it in another way, he will bring things upon us to make us lean on him. You know, by nature, we're very independent, aren't we? We think we can manage this and manage that, and we can get ourselves through this or through that. But you see, what's the Lord do? Like he did with the children of Israel, he brought enemies to oppose them, to bring them to lean upon the Lord, to look to him. And then he laid affliction upon them, to bring them to lean upon him for healing, for deliverance, for blessing. And then he brought them, as we just read in that hymn, into fires and into floods. We think of that beautiful word in Isaiah, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." But he brings you into these fires and into these floods to make you lean on him. And then sometimes the Lord is pleased to let Satan loose. And it's like a dog when it's been on a chain and that let loose. He's out for attack. And when Satan is let off his chain a little, how soon he attacks the child of God. And the Lord brings them where they're attacked by, and they have to lean upon the dear Redeemer, because there's their safety, there's their security, there's their help. Oh, to be found when Satan comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him, for he found leaning upon the Lord. And then in things of providence, the future, the unknown way, in all that concerns us, are to be found leaning upon Christ. Oh, the safety. I can't press this home enough this afternoon. The safety there is for the sinner leaning there. "All my safety," one said, "is in thee." Oh, to be leaning upon her beloved, he that's done everything for you, he that has helped thee hitherto will help you all your journey through. But in conclusion, though, I just want to look at it in another way. And it's this: the harder the child of God leans, the more they prove his faithfulness and goodness. You can never lean too hard, poor soul, upon the dear beloved Saviour. Oh no. The harder the child of God leans upon Christ, the more they approve his faithfulness, the more they approve his goodness, the more they approve his mercy. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? You think of our godly forefathers, they had to walk through so many deep trials and deep afflictions and poverty and extreme circumstances. But where were they found? Leaning upon their beloved Saviour. They knew so much nearness to Christ. Oh, they did. And you see, the trouble is, we are taken up by this and with that and something else and leaning everywhere else. And that's why we don't know the communion that they did with Christ. You see, the spouse here, she knew sweet communion with the dear Redeemer. Oh, she did. Because she was leaning upon him, so close to him. And she knew that nearness. "Who is this then that cometh up from the wilderness?" that wilderness of sin and sorrow, leaning upon her beloved. Oh, may then, as we venture into this new year, this where we may be found, continually leaning upon him. And especially when we're in weakness and we've got no strength of our own, it's like an aged person, when all their faculties start to fail, they need something to lean on them. A person, they lean upon their stick. The old preachers used to say about the promises of God, how the sinner can lean on them. And I would close with that. You think those promises the Lord has given you are to be found leaning upon them. You think of the promises the Lord gave to Moses, and he said to him, my presence shall go with thee and I will give thee rest. It was a promise he could lean on. And as I said earlier about the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee and my strength is made perfect in weakness. It was a word he could lean on, couldn't he? Because it came from heaven. And those promises that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus, the sinner can lean on. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I just name those as a few. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Oh, may he say that to us. I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Sacred things to lean on, aren't they? You see, the things of time are perishing. If we're leaning on them or leaning on ourselves or leaning on any arm of flesh, it will surely fail. Well, I'll leave it for your prayerful thoughts. And may the word live in us as we venture into this new year. And the benefit is ours. But the glory belongs to the Lord. Amen.